Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And I got to tell you something, that I love this series that we're in. I get excited about this series. It's one of my favorite topics to be able to talk about. And so I've come into this place ready to preach. Let me ask you, who's ready to hear today? I got to tell you, I came in here ready to preach. Who came in here ready to listen to a message from God today? It's going to be something that is going to be life-giving. I pray and hope that it will be life-giving for you. We are talking about a very tense subject at times. Something, as soon as we talk about this subject, or as soon as somebody says the word, all of a sudden we're like, hey, they don't want to really talk about this. We're talking about money. Anybody excited to be able to talk about money? Not really, but I am. There's a couple of people. I love talking about money and doing it in a very life-giving manner. Because it's not because what the church is looking to get something from you, that God is trying to get something from you. It's that God wants something for you. We are talking about something that will radically change your life. We are a church that is all about changed lives, and I believe that this series has a massive potential to completely change your life, the life of people around you, and possibly generations to come. That's what God has for you. And so we're talking about money, and we're talking about it in a very life-giving, a very positive way. And how we're doing that is we're covering four major themes when it comes to money. We're talking about this: less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Man, I heard some people already going, because you know what's coming up next. You've been with us during this series. I'm going to ask you to repeat this with me. Everybody, here we go. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. The very first week when we kicked off this series is that we talked about less is more. Better is one handful and tranquility than two handfuls with stress and toil and chasing after the wind. Less really is more for us. That's the plan that God has for your life. That's not the plan of consumerism in the culture that we live in today, but less truly is more. Last week we talked about the reality that stress is bad, right? Like when it comes to financial stress, that's not the life that God has for you. Because we understand that the borrower is slave to the lender, and you don't need to be able to live underneath that yoke. You don't want to have to live underneath that kind of stress. Stress is bad. Next week, we're going to be talking about tomorrow matters. We're going to be looking at a legacy that we can have and the plan that God has for us, and that's going to be such a fantastic message for us. Very challenging. I can tell you that next week's message has been the one that has convicted me the most as I've been going through and preparing for this series. I want to encourage you to be here next week. But today we're talking about giving is good. Giving is good. So here we go. One more time, everybody together. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. And why am I asking you to repeat these things over and over and over again? Because I don't want it to just be a message that you hear today. A month from now, when you're looking at your finances and you're thinking about finances, whatever that looks like, I want you to be able to remember each of those points. A couple of months from now, when you're looking at different financial issues that you might have, that you're going to remember those points, because that's the life that God has for you. But today we're talking about giving is good. And I got to tell you, I love to give. It's something that's inside of me. One of my love language is, well, they say gift giving, but it's just stuff. One of my love languages is stuff. That's what it is. Like, I like to get stuff, and I also like to give stuff as well. In fact, I love this passage in Acts 20, 35. It says this: remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, if there's ever words that you want to remember, it's the words that the Lord Jesus says himself. Those are important words, right? And he says this: it is more blessed, everybody say more blessed. More blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I love the terminology more blessed, because see, when I was growing up and I would hear messages about money, or I'd hear this terminology, you know, it's better to give than receive. Anybody, you've heard that growing up, right? Like, but what I had in my head was, then I shouldn't receive at all. I should feel bad about receiving something. But how many of y'all know, man, it's a blessing to get something, isn't it? Like, it's a blessing when somebody says, hey, you know what, I was thinking about you and I wanted to get this nice little thing for you. Or all of a sudden you get some money in the mail that you weren't expecting. You're like, it wasn't even my birthday. What's going on? This is bad. How many know that that's a blessing, right? Like, let's just be honest. That's a blessing. And I love the fact that I get to be able to enjoy it. In fact, man, if you call this your church home, you know that I'm a little bit of a sneakerhead, right? Like, I love sneakers. I love to be able to get new sneakers. And I got to tell you that when I receive new sneakers, new sneakerhead day, that's a good day for me. I feel completely blessed. How many of you know, like, you get new, anybody like shoes around here? It doesn't even have to be sneakers. That's a good day when you get some new shoes, isn't it? Right? Like, I love that. I'm blessed on that day. But let me tell you what's even more of a blessing for me, is that for me in the church that we have here and the relationships that I have here, most of my closest ones have to do with the staff, you know? So hanging out with Pastor Jonathan, Pastor James, Raphael, Frankie, I love hanging out with these individuals. And I can tell you this, that every single one of those individuals has received a gift of sneakers from me before, haven't they? Like, I love to be able to give sneakers to our team. I just think it's great joy for me. In fact, one of those moments actually happened last February. Last February, it was going to be new sneaker day for Pastor Darren. I was like, this is going to be a good day. I knew the sneakers that I wanted. I've been planning for that release to be able to happen. And so I went to the store to be able to get some. And then all of a sudden, out of my eye, I was like, oh, hey, man, those are pretty sweet ones right over there. And they were like these all white little sneakers, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, those look really nice. Maybe I should get two of them today. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Less is more, right? Less is more, people. So here's what I decided to do. This is what I said in my head. Because I know that it's better to give than to receive. And so I thought, man, those things are really cool right there. I got a lot of all white sneakers, but I love them so much. So you know what I'm going to do? I bought them for Pastor Jonathan. Yeah, right? Like, aren't I such a nice guy? Like, isn't that, that's so fantastic. And so I gave up the shoes, the sneakers that I was going to get that day, and I bought these all-white sneakers for Pastor Jonathan. I knew I had a lunch already planned with him that day, and so I was like, oh, man, I'm gonna bless the socks off of this guy. And so I brought these sneakers to him, and man, he opened them up, and his face lit up, and he's like, these are so awesome there. And I'm feeling like, yeah, I did a good job right here. And he's blessing me by his response, and he even posted something on Instagram, which never happens if you know Pastor Jonathan. Like, I was like one of the six posts that he's ever had. Like, he was blessed by it. And then about an hour later, he called me up and he's like, hey, where'd you get those? I would like to take them back so I can get something that I really like. It was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. And I will tell you this, that I was very blessed by that. Because it doesn't matter even what my opinion was. Like, what I really wanted was for him to have a blessing, to be able to have stuff that he's going to be able to use. And so I was like, man, absolutely, take them back. Do whatever, burn them for all I care. If you get some enjoyment out of it, that's fine. Because I know that I was blessed even by that response. It made me crack up when he said that. And I was like, bro, get whatever you want, man. Like, that's what's in my heart. Because it's better to give than to receive. It's more blessed. We are more blessed to give than to receive. I love this teaching found here in 2 Corinthians. It says this, you will be enriched in every way. Man, I love that, right? Okay, if somebody says, hey, you're going to be enriched in every way if you do this, sign me up. Tell me what it is that I need to do to have my life be enriched. And it says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. God has called us to be generous and willing to share. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And then I love this. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. How wonderful is that? When we have an opportunity in front of us to be generous, it's not so that we can get the acclimate. It's not so that we can get the thanks. I better get a thank you card in the mail from that little gift. Right? Like, sometimes we have that opinion, you know? But it's not about me at all. It's because of my generosity, somebody can say, thank you, God, for coming through when I needed you the most. How powerful is that? See, God blesses us not for ourselves, but so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. Giving is good. God has called us to be generous and willing to share. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. We know this, don't we? It's not like I'm preaching anything new. It's not shocking for you to hear me say that giving is good. You hear that from the time that you were a little kid. You need to be able to share your toys. You need to be able to do this. I'm not shedding any new light on anything. In fact, even if you go to, we got Josh and Ashley Sloan sitting right over here, and I would love for you to talk to them and listen to what it is to be part of Financial Peace University. It is a wonderful thing. There's a group that is meeting and talking about that. They're not going to give you any new information. It's not a new insight, but yet we have trouble walking through it, don't we? I know that giving is good, yet I don't do it. I know that I'm supposed to be generous, but yet I'm not living in that. Why is that? Why is it that we don't actually walk through with this? Well, there's a couple of reasons that I want to cover very quickly. And the very first one is this. We feel like we don't have enough, right? Like, I have a heart to give. I have a heart that I want to be generous. I would love to do that. But I barely got enough to pay my own bills, right? Man, I would love to get to that place, but there's just not enough for us to even go around. Why don't we give? Why don't we live a generous life? Because we feel like we don't have enough. We feel like there's just not enough for us. The second one is this. I believe this, and this is a tough one for me, is because I believe that there's been an abuse of this message, right? Like when you're talking about generosity. See, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in that culture and what that was like. And anybody, like, I'm not trying to pick on anybody on this, but anybody grow up watching any TV evangelist, you know, their hair's all slicked back, you know, and they say Jesus with a Jesus. I don't know. Like, I don't see the A-H on the end of Jesus when I'm reading the Bible, but that's how they say Jesus, you know. Like, that's what it's like. And then what do they say? They say, hey, if you send us $100, everybody knows where I'm going with this right now. If you send us $100, you're going to end up getting blessed with $1,000, right? Like, really, I don't see that in Scripture. I don't read anywhere that it says that if I give $100, I'm going to get $1,000. I don't read that anywhere. In fact, when I'm watching this, it makes me not want to do that at all. In fact, what I'm thinking when I'm watching something like that, I'm like, bro, I'm like worried about your salvation and stuff. Like, your soul's going to a bad place. You need to stop saying this to people. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And so immediately for me, I say, I don't want to do it at all. Don't tell me what to do. That's what I have inside of myself. It's an abuse of this message. Like, if you just go ahead and sow into this ministry, right? Like, that, it's just an abuse of the message. Why don't we give? Man, because some of us have grown up hearing that, and it's just an abuse of the message. And then the last one is this, and I think that this is even the hardest one for many of us, and it's the hardest one for me, is that many of us have a scarcity mindset instead of an abundance mindset. What do I mean by that? See, when I was growing up, my parents, we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of stuff. And that meant that if I was going to give something away, I no longer had access to it. See, we live in a world, this is the thought when you have scarcity, is that we live in a world with limited resources. And only limited resources. And if I give some of my resources away, I no longer have any access to it, and I am now without. That's scarcity. But that's not the plan that God has for us. See, we have an abundance mindset. See, that John 10:10 says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus says that I have come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. God is full of abundance. And to think that I don't have enough, and to think that I am sitting here that I can't do it, there's not enough to go around, there's no possible way that I'm going to be able to give. You've got a scarcity mindset. that God doesn't want you to live in scarcity. He doesn't want you to live in fear of your finances. He wants you to live in freedom. You got a choice. What do you want? You want to live in fear? You want to live in freedom? Do you want to have a scarcity mindset, or do you want to have an abundant mindset? And so for me, I had to have a renewing of my mind. That's how I grew up with that idea, but I needed to have a renewing of my mind. And so I had to tell myself over and over and over and over again, God, you want me to give. I'm going to do it. God, you want me to give, even though I don't feel like I have enough, I'm going to do it. I'm still going to be able to walk this, and I'm going to trust you with what I have. And so I had to have a renewing of my mind to understand that God's got my back, not just me, and get away from the scarcity mindset and begin to live in an abundant mindset. I love the way that Proverbs, in the Message, it says here in Proverbs 11, and the Message is kind of like, it's kind of like a devotional version of the Bible. It's really fantastic and really down to earth, but it's kind of a devotional version of the Bible. And it says this: the world of the generous gets larger and larger. I love that, right? Like, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Abundance. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Scarcity. Abundance, scarcity. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. It's basically living your life with a clenched fist or an open hand. See, if I have a clenched fist and I'm trying to hold on to everything that I have, if God or if somebody else is trying to bless me, there's no possible way that I can take hold of it. I don't have an open hand. I can't do that. I'm trying to just hold on and grasp everything that I have. But if I live life with an open hand, abundance, all of a sudden, if there's a need that somebody has, I can say, hey, I have enough. Here you go. I might not even have enough, but I'm going to trust that God is going to provide for me. And I have an open hand, and then when the blessing is going to be able to come, I have an open hand that can take that blessing, that can receive the blessing. See, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. But yet the world of the stingy, it gets smaller and smaller. Scarcity, abundance. Scarcity, abundance. And some of us are sitting in here and we're looking at the reason why we don't give, and it's because we don't have enough. And my question for you is this: is it because you're trying to hold on to everything that you have? I can't give. I can't go ahead and walk that out just yet. What comes first? Is it that you have enough, or is that you're going to trust God? Is it that you have enough, or is it you're going to trust God? Giving is good. And the Bible teaches us that giving is good. How many of you believe that giving is good? How many of you want to begin to walk into the fact that giving is good and to be able to walk in the generosity that God has called us to do? Well, that's what we want to be able to talk about today. I don't want to just leave us here in this place. I want to be able to move forward so that we can actually live in the abundance that God has for us. And so we're going to talk about three things that are going to help us grow in our generosity. Three steps to help us grow in our generosity. The very first thing that we need to do is we need to learn God's plan. We need to learn God's plan that He has for our life. The great thing about God is that He is a good, good Father, and He has a plan for us to walk in the abundance that He has for us. And we can see that start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 4, you see two individuals bringing God their gifts. They're saying, I'm going to trust God with what He has for me. It starts all the way in Genesis chapter 4. But there needs to be a plan when it comes to that as well. There needs to be a plan. So because we didn't have a strategy, so God said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a strategy to understand that giving is good. And He begins to say that, laid it out in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27 says this. It says one-tenth. Everybody say one-tenth. One-tenth. Here's what one-tenth is. One-tenth is what we call tithe. Anybody heard that term before? Tithe, right? Like one-tenth is tithe. Basically, 10% of what you have should be given to God. And some of you are like, Well, that's a lot of men. One-tenth, what are you talking about? Like, that's a lot. Well, let me tell you, that's the strategy that God has for us, is to say 10%, I'm going to give my first and my best to God. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It must be set apart to him as holy. 10%, it starts with the tithe. God gave us a strategy to follow. And 10%, man, that's I'm telling you, like, that for some of us, that's like, that's a big number. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow. I'm barely making it on 100%, and you're asking me to live on 90% instead. And that's, how am I going to do that? And I can tell you, that's exactly why I believe that God put this next verse in here. It's because many of us have that idea, like, dude, that's a big chunk of change, and how am I going to actually do that? So God says this, all right, you know what? I understand that's where you're at, because you're living and you grew up with a scarcity mindset. And I want you to get past that so that you can live in the abundance that I have for you. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about this 10%, but I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead. I dare you to do it. I dare you to start living in this. You can go ahead and test me. Malachi 3:10 says this. Bring all the tithe. That's a big deal right there. Don't skip out. Don't just bring part of it. He says, bring all of the tithe to the storehouse so that there is enough food in my temple. And for us, like, we don't have temples around, but we have church, and this is where God's storehouse is, so we can see his ministry be done. Ministry was done in the temple before. Now it's done through the local churches, right? So it says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Abundance. I will pour out a blessing so great, abundance, that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. I dare you to see what's going to happen. I dare you. This is the only time in Scripture that God says, go ahead and test me. This is the only time that he says, go ahead, I dare you, see what's going to happen. Have a renewing of your mind that you don't live in scarcity anymore, but you're going to understand what it is to walk in the abundance that I have. I got to tell you something. For many of you right now, you're sitting there and you're saying, 10%, man, do you understand? I would have to rearrange my entire life and my lifestyle to do that. And that's exactly right. That's exactly the point. Is because when we live a life after God, when we follow him, that's exactly what he wants us to do. Not just become the Lord of part of our life, become the Lord of our entire life. That our complete existence revolves around God. And that absolutely we rearrange our life to follow him. And I believe that one of the hardest areas for us to do that is in the area of money. He says, go ahead and put your money where your faith is. And I got to tell you something from my own personal walk and my own personal experience, that when I began to walk this out and bring the whole tithe, the first part of everything that we have ever made, my wife and I, when we begin to walk that out, God continues to bless us. Not bless us the way that the world thinks, you know, like, oh, look at all the stuff and the amazing things that we have. No. It's that God has always provided for us. He always walks through and is there for us. And so I say it like this. I'm going to give God my first and my best, and I will trust him with the rest. I'm going to give God my first and my best, and I'm going to trust him with the rest. Now, many people, you might even hear this, say, well, you know, the tithe, that's an Old Testament principle. The tithe doesn't, it's not required of us any longer. We live under grace and we live in the New Testament. That's an Old Testament principle, and that's where we need to be able to, we don't have to worry about that anymore. And I would say, well, you're partly right. I would say yes and no to that. Because actually in Matthew 23:23, Jesus reaffirms the tithe. He said, of course you should tithe. Now don't forget justice, mercy, and faith along with it, but of course you should tithe. I'm not telling you not to do that, but that's not where he stops. See, if you really want to be able to follow through with that and say, well, that's an Old Testament principle, I don't need to walk in that anymore, then I would encourage you to be able to say, absolutely, you need to be able to take the next step and really live in generosity the way that God calls us to in the New Testament. Look at what 2 Corinthians says right here, 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Scarcity. But whoever sows generously, you're going to reap generously. Abundance. Continue on. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly and under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Come on, somebody. I love that so much. We're not going to sit here and say, I'm going to force you to do this or do that. No. I'm just teaching what Scripture has for us. And then for you to be able to take this home, pray about it. What is God actually calling you to do? And God is able to bless you abundantly. So then all of these things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, it goes above and beyond the tithe. It doesn't stop there. We don't just sow sparingly. We sow generously so that we can in turn then be a blessing to those around us. It doesn't stop at the tithe. That's kind of the starting point almost. And it goes above and beyond that. So if you want to come in and say, well, that's an Old Testament principle, I would say, great, how much above the tithe are you really going in? Because that's what God has called us to do. In fact, we even see examples in Acts where they said, man, all of the believers, they sold everything that they had and they put all their money together. And then they just gave to whoever had need. Anybody want to do that?
You're like, let's go back to the tithe. That sounds pretty good right now. Like, it sounds horrible, you know?
That's where it starts for us. That's what God's plan is for our life. That's the plan that he has, is to be generous. But now here's what we need to do. How are we going to actually do that? Instead of just learning God's plan, we need to live God's plan. My hope is for each of you to live God's plan out. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. Begin to live this out. And my hope and my prayer is for each of us to actually begin to do so. So here's what we're going to do in our church. Everybody who's walked in the door today, we actually have bank account statements in the back that you're going to write down all of your information. And we're going to require everybody to start giving 10% right now. No, of course not. We're not going to do that. That would be pretty messed up, though. It'd be really funny if actually I had those forms. Like, I should have thought about it more beforehand, and I actually started to pass them out, really see how far I could go with this whole thing. That would have been pretty funny. No, we're not going to do that. I don't want to do that. But my hope is that each of us will begin to live it out. My hope is for each of us to begin to live out God's plan. And so here's what we want to do here at our church. Greg, you want to be able to help me out? So what we want to do in our church is we want to be able to help you with that process. We want to help you with the process of what it looks like to actually begin to live this out. See, now all of a sudden, now you're like, okay, maybe I am a little bit nervous now, right? Like, so here's what we have. This is what we call in our church to be able to help you with the process of understanding and living out God's plan. This is what we call the generosity ladder. This is a generosity ladder. And here's what I would encourage you to do. I would love for you to be part of Next Steps, which is the ministry that we have here to understand the spiritual journey that God has for us and for us as a church to be able to walk that spiritual journey with you. And Pastor Jonathan actually facilitates that every single Sunday, talking about the spiritual journey that God has for us. And this generosity ladder is part of that teaching. When Jonathan does it, he doesn't actually, you don't pull the ladder out, do you? No. It'd be fantastic if he did every single time he talked about it. But I'm a little bit bolder, so I pull out the generosity ladder. And this is what it looks like. These are the rungs, and these are the steps of what it can look like to really live out the generosity that God has for us. So number one, the very first step that we need to be able to take is the understanding that every single person is a potential giver. The understanding that every single person in here, no matter how old, no matter how young, every single person is a potential giver. So even in my house, there's four individuals in my family, myself, my wife, and then my two boys. I got a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And that 9-year-old and that 5-year-old, they're potential givers. They get money for doing things around the house. They get money for their birthdays, for their for Christmas, all of that kind of thing. And we have three different jars, three different cups in our house to help them understand this principle. And those are give, save, and keep. Give, save, and keep. And so in give, 10%. So just the other day, actually it was more than 10% that they helped me do some yard work yesterday. And so each of them got $5. One of those dollars went into the give jar. One of those dollars went into the save jar that they're going to be able to learn how to save for the future. I don't want to pay for college, man. Let them pay for college, okay? Like, they're going to learn how to save for the future. And then the other $3 they got to have, man, you keep it and do whatever you want with it. You want to go buy some candy, blow it on whatever, do whatever you want with it, you know? But then my oldest one, he's like, man, I'm saving for some Beyblades or something. Like, I don't know what it is, whatever, you know? And he gets to be able to put that away. But that's how we do this, is to understand that each and every single one of us is a potential giver. And when we understand that, that's when we can take the next step to follow God's plan, and that's when we become an emerging giver. An emerging giver is when all of a sudden we say, you know what? I'm going to do this. It's a Sunday morning. I wasn't planning on it, but I got an extra $5 in my pocket. This little white bucket's going by. I'm going to do this. Look at that. You know, and that's for some of us, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. I know what that was like for me the first time that I was like, I was sitting there. I was like, oh, man, I was planning on going to McDonald's afterwards with this $20 bill, right? But I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put this in that bucket as it's going by. And that is a huge step for many of us, is taking that step for the very first time. And I got to tell you something. As a pastor, this is one of my, almost my favorite place. Just to understand that you're taking a step to trust God is huge. It's life-changing to begin to trust God. But we don't stay there. We don't stay on that rung as just the first time an emerging giver. Then we take the next step. And that next step we take up there is when we start to do this on a consistent basis. You become a consistent giver, where you say, you know what, I'm going to plan on what this giving looks like. I'm gonna plan on it. I didn't just come into church not planning on this. I came ready. Like, I put the $20 bill in my pocket specifically for this, that you're looking at your budget and you are being consistent in your giving. That's a huge deal. I tell you, I love being able to see people take those steps of trusting God and living out the plan that he has for us. But then there's still a couple more rungs, right? And so then that's when we take a step from being a consistent giver to now all of a sudden, man, we really are a tither, right? Like, okay, now it is that 10%. Now we're really saying, okay, like, that's a big leap for many of us, that it's not just 20 bucks every single week, but it truly is tithing. 10%. Man, that's a lot for some of us, you know? Like, every single time, like, you know, I see that at the end, I'm like, man, that was, like, that's fun. The first time that I actually saw the end of the year giving, I was like, dude, that's a lot of money that, like, I could have had a BMW when I was driving around, you know? Like, so I understand that that's a big deal for many of us to actually get to that tithing spot. And I just think it's fantastic. But you can see that it doesn't stop there, right? James, I want to get a hand. See, like I said, that's the Old Testament principle. And many of us need to be able to take that next step and to live out the generosity and the abundance that God has for us. And so that's when all of a sudden we get to an extravagant giver. Ooh. I was like, I almost went backwards a little bit there. So last time, man, you can keep your hands to yourself, bro. This is what I'm going to tell you. Because last time Pastor Jonathan was helping me out. And Pastor Jonathan grabbed my ankle, and I was like, yeah. See, all of a sudden, this is starting to get a little scary up here. Taking a step where all of a sudden it's not just tithe anymore. This is the person that is not worried about the 10% anymore, but is asking God, what can I do with the 90%? See, I got to tell you something, is that this is a scary step to be on, to begin to live in abundance, because all of a sudden what happens here is that I don't trust my own abilities, I don't trust my own self with the finances, but I began to completely trust God. And this is a whole new perspective of life. Many of us have never even been to this place. And the way that I look at the church right now and the way that I can see many of you is very, very different. And it's fantastic. It's wonderful, actually. It's exhilarating. My heart is pounding a little bit more. But this is a place that I love this. In fact, here's what I need to do. Can you give me my phone? Right there, I'm going to take a picture of this because this is fun, man. This is extravagant. This is what it's like. I would take a selfie, but, man, I'm not turning around. You got to be out of your mind for that. Like, that's just you're taking things to another level. See, like all of a sudden, I'm in a different place. I got to be, Pastor Jonathan's making some crazy faces. I love that. I'm not moving my body, man. Extravagant giver. Some of y'all saw that, didn't you? It's a scary place to be up here. But it's wonderful. Now here's what I got to tell you. It doesn't even stop right here. See, God has even more for us. I need a hand, man. Maybe I need two of them. God has something more for us. It does say that it's not a step. See, when I'm up here, I'm not living in a place of even extravagance. What I'm worried about is what's going to happen tomorrow. I want you to come next week and understand that there's a legacy that I'm worried about. See, I'm not even necessarily worried about every single person that's sitting in here today. What I'm worried about is the person that's not sitting in here today. I'm asking God to be able to bring the whole tithe so that there's going to be enough food to be able to see his ministry go forward. I want to be able to create a legacy moving forward. I want to be able to have a place where there's going to be single moms that are going to come in here, and those kids aren't going to worry about what their future is going to look like. Those kids are going to be in a place where they're going to understand that God has a plan for their life, because I'm going to be able to leave a legacy right here. This is what God wants us to be able to understand, is that tomorrow matters. That everything else that we have in this place is nothing compared to what he has for us. And he has blessed me so that I can be a blessing to those around me. Tomorrow matters. Make sure you're here next week. This is the path. This is the ladder of generosity that God has for you. Don't stay on the ground anymore. It's nothing on the ground. There's nothing going on. Sure, it's scary up here. My legs are sitting here shaking. Everybody's looking at me going, when is he going to fall down? I don't know. I might do so, but I know that God's got my back. I know he's going to be able to put a safety net. James might not have a safety net for me, but God's going to have a net for me. He's going to provide for me every single step of the way, every single step on this ladder. That's the plan that he has for you. Begin to live out God's plan. Help me down, man. Woo, Lord Almighty. Lord Almighty, you got the ladder? You're holding on to that thing? Come on, please, give me a hand. It's like a magic show up here. Man, why do we put ladders up there and stuff like that? Why do I stand up there and risk my neck? Because I'm going to do anything in my power to help you understand that God has a plan for your life. Don't forget me standing up there. And don't forget that giving is good. Don't forget that God doesn't want you to live in scarcity. He wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to be able to live in freedom. Don't live in fear anymore. Somebody shout freedom up in this place. That's what he has for you. That's the life that he has for you. You don't have to live in fear anymore. Your finances are crippling you because you think that there's scarcity. You don't have enough. And God wants you to understand that there is a life of abundance for you. Begin to trust him. Begin to understand his plan and begin to live it out. How do you begin to live a life of generosity? How do you really walk in the fact that giving is good? The last thing that we need to talk about is this. You can take the step today. You can take that step today. No matter where you're at on that rung, you can take the next step. Maybe for some of you, that's just taking the very first step. I never even realized that I had the potential. I've never had enough. And you begin to say, okay, God, you've blessed me. And maybe it is with just a little, but you've blessed me with that so I can be a blessing to others. Maybe you take the very next step and you say, you know what? I'm going to do this for the very first time. I've never done it before. I'm going to do it. And God says, I dare you to do it. Maybe for some of you, it's saying, you know what? I'm going to take that next step, and I'm going to start doing this on a consistent basis. Man, I have given a little bit here and there, you know, a bucket comes by, or I get online every once in a while, whatever it is, you know. But now you're going to start to say, how do I budget for this? And you're going to take each step along the way. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you an opportunity to do so. I want to give you an opportunity to live out generosity, but not for us and not for our church. That's not where we're going. Because see, here's what I want to do. I want to be able to have each of you give generously so that somebody can thank God because of you. That's my prayer. Philemon 1:6 actually says this. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. That's my prayer for you. That you're going to put into action. And you can start by doing it today. And here's what that's going to look like. Let me put up the Christmas event. So this is what Christmas is going to look like here at Focus 314. And I'm excited about what it is. It's actually going to be a lot of fun. And so some of those events that you can see, the December 2nd is Feed My Starving Children. So Feed My Starving Children, you guys know, you guys been part of that before. It's where we go and help package food to be able to send out. December 2nd is actually a really big day for that. They're renting out part of the convention center, Phoenix Convention Center. It's going to be massive, be big. Love for each of you to be part of what's going to happen on December 2nd. And then I don't know why on this Christmas events thing that it goes from the 2nd to the 9th, because we missed it. Like December 4th, my birthday needs to be on there. Don't you agree, right? Like I keep telling, some of you are like, no, it doesn't. Like, yes, it does. It does. That's my opinion anyway. December 4th, just in case you're wondering. Anyway, December 9th, I'm just playing about that. December 9th is going to be awesome, the girlfriend's Christmas dinner. It's going to be here this year, 4th annual. It's going to be fantastic. They're going to start selling tickets actually next Sunday for that. It's going to be great. You're not going to want to miss that, all the ladies that are here. And then the 10th. And the 10th is the one that I really want to highlight right now. On the 10th, Move Kids Christmas. So on Move Kids Christmas Day, it's going to be happening right here during the service that you have, our normal times, 9:30 and 11:15, that we're going to have all of the kids up here. They've been practicing for like a month already. They've been back there doing dances and all this stuff. It's going to be so cute and wonderful, right? Like, I just love it when the kids come up. It's just so great. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do on that day, is that during that day, the kids are actually only performing during the 11:15 service. So during the second one, the one that none of us are at right now. But I would encourage you on the 10th to actually be part of that entire day. Be part of both services. And here's the reason why I'm asking you to do that, is because you can see that we actually have a special guest speaker, Tony Sebastian. Well, Tony Sebastian and his wife, Jamie, they're actually missionaries to Greece, Thessalonica, Greece. They're moving from Thessalonica over to Cyprus. And so they're back here in the States getting ready to move to Cyprus. And man, these guys are killing it. In fact, go ahead, there's a picture of them. This is Tony and Jamie and their family. They've got two boys and this cute little princess of a girl named Zoe, which means life. Isn't that powerful? It's just wonderful. And so during the 9:30 service, they're actually going to be here. He's going to be speaking to us about what's happening over in Greece and everything that they've been doing. And so I would love for you to be part of that. Come for the 9:30 so that you can hear from Tony. He's going to be up here giving the message, and that's going to be such a wonderful time. But then during the 11:15 service, here's what's actually going to happen there. See, Tony thinks he's speaking at both. Tony knows that there's going to be actually a kid's performance and that he's only going to be doing a little bit of speaking during that second service. But here's what I would love, is that during 9:30, Tony is going to be here for us. But during 11:15, I want us to be here for Tony and Jamie. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually buy all of them Christmas presents. We want to be able to bless their socks off. We want to be able to say, man, what is your wish list? What are the things that you truly want? What are the things that you need as you're going out to the mission field? And that we're going to bless them, that we're going to actually give them Christmas presents. In fact, I've been in contact with his brother, and there's a list that we're already starting to compile. It's wonderful. For Zoe, he was like, man, I don't know, she's a princess, so like a pony and a castle would be great. Like I'm like, maybe we could do something, like, I don't know about like a real castle, but maybe the toy one, that'd be pretty cool, you know? And here's what I would love to do, is that they're flying from Pittsburgh. They're living in Pittsburgh for this year. They're flying in for that, and what I would love to do is that they can't take any of that stuff back to Pittsburgh with them, that it's too much, and that we're going to have to actually ship like a crate or something back to Pittsburgh, because we want to bless them. We want to be able to give generously to these individuals who are giving generously of their entire lives towards the mission of Jesus Christ. We want to bless them and be generous towards them. Can I get an amen on that? Here's what I want to be able to do. I want to put this list together, and we're going to provide that next week. We're going to have a list, and that you might be, just as an individual, say, hey, I'm going to help them in this. Or maybe as you, as a community group, that you get together and you're like, hey, you know, we're going to go, we're going to put all of our resources together, and we're going to get something like just baller. Like, here's what this is what I would love to do. Like, you don't know this. Maybe you could tell a little bit by Tony's picture right here, but I got to tell you, I'm just telling you a little secret. Tony's cross-eyed, all right? So here's the reason why I'm telling you that. Because what I would love to see happen on December 10th, I would love to see some cross-eyed crying up here, all right? That's what I want to be able to see you do, is bless them so much that Tony, some of you are like, that was wrong, man. You should not, you shouldn't say that. Like, my cousin, he's cross-eyed. That's not funny, right? I thought it was a little funny when I was saying it, because I love Tony so much that I could say that. He's my boy. I want to be able to see him cry. I want to see him blown away because of the generosity of our church. And here's what I would love. Not for him to be able to say, you know what happened at Focus 314? He gets to be able to say, I thank God. I thank God that he provided for us. I'm so thankful for the life that we have chosen, and I can thank God. Because of our generosity, he and his family can thank God for what's going to happen. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to walk up this ladder. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to take a step on that ladder of generosity. Not for us, for Tony and Jamie Sebastian. I don't know where you're at on that ladder. I don't know what that looks like for you. But I want to be able to bless their socks off. I want to be generous to some missionaries who have given their life for the gospel. They're going to be here on December 10th, and I want to ask you, make December 10th available the entire day. That you're going to be here for the 9:30 and for the 11:15, and that you're going to be able to see somebody crying up here and thanking God because of our generosity. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. Team, you want to come on up? He has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. I don't want you to live in scarcity. I want you to live a life of abundance. We have to have a renewing of our mind and understand God is going to provide for us no matter what. And I would much rather see every single one of you living a life with an open hand instead of a closed fist. He has blessed you so that you can be a blessing. Here's the last thing that I want you to know. It is truly better to give than to receive. And if you do that, you will be a blessing to others, and you yourself will be blessed. You yourself will be blessed. It might not be in a financial way. It might not be the fact that, like, hey, I gave $100 and I'd get my $1,000 in return. It's not like that. But all of a sudden, inside of your heart and your soul, all of a sudden that the life that you're living every single day, you're going to begin to see those blessings. You're going to see a change in the way that your home is. You're going to see a change in the way that you speak to your wife or your husband. You're going to see a way that you speak to other people, that all of a sudden you begin to understand, this world is not just about me. This world is about what God can do through me to reach those around me. It truly is better to give than to receive. Giving is good. Everybody say, giving is good. I hope that you can walk it out. Don't just know God's plan. Walk it out and live God's plan. And no matter where you're at on that ladder, you can take a step today. Now, here's what I want you to know, too. We don't have a list of all of those presents today because I don't want you to give under compulsion. I don't want you to give just because you heard, oh man, Pastor Darren was going, he was going crazy today, man. I feel this emotion. I'm going to do it. I'm out of compulsion. I'm going to be able to go ahead and put some money in the bucket. That's not the plan that we have. And that's not what God's plan is for you either. And so it's actually purposeful that we don't have that list today. Because I want you to go home. I want you to pray and have God speak to you. What does God want for you to give? God loves a cheerful giver. Church, can you please stand today? The most important thing that I can ask for you to do is to pray. The most important thing that I can ask you to do is to trust God and trust the process and the plan that He has for your life. I want to ask you to pray about this throughout the week. And right now we're going to sing a song. And my hope is that you don't just sing the song, but that as we're singing this, in your heart, you will pray, God, what do you want me to give? God, what's the plan that you have for me? God, what's the next step that I need to take?